Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed. For I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A good friend was telling me about something that happened to him. He was driving one day to the school where he was teaching and mulling over a series of events from that morning. He's a contemplative sort of guy and begins each day with stretching exercises and a long period of silent meditation and prayer. This day, however, he was running late in the schedule. Anxiety crept in. He kept looking at the clock. His wife commented about his rushing around and he snapped at her. And then she said, "So what good does it do for you to sit in there and meditate?" He grabbed his car keys, went out the door. And on his way to his school, he realized and affirmed, I guess, for the first time, he was living through a spiritual crisis. There's a widening gap between what he professed to believe and the nagging sense of emptiness in his soul. And he was a minister. Of all things, going to teach and converse with adults about matters of faith. But inside, it felt like he had little of that to share with anybody else. The nameplate on his office door proclaimed him an expert, professor of spirituality. And for the moment, his entire professional life seemed to him to be a sham. Ever have a moment like that? Or a season like that? Say you're sitting here in church and you find yourself doubting if you believe any of that stuff. Or maybe you're sitting next to somebody who sings exuberantly and prays fervently, and in your heart you're not sure if anybody's up there listening. Or maybe something good happens, and everybody around you is cheering, but you're not so sure. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop or the whistle to blow or the referee's flag to be tossed on the field. And it's not simply a matter of getting up on the wrong side of the bed. More likely, it's the feeling that something that used to fit together has come apart, and you don't know how to cobble it back together again. So that's what I want to talk about today for a bit. If your faith is tuned up and humming perfectly, this sermon probably isn't for you, and you are welcome to take an 18-minute nap. In fact, a couple of you already have started. But for those who wish faith was stronger and the heart was on fire, let's have a chat. First thing to acknowledge is this experience of darkness and spiritual dryness. It's common. It happens regularly to everybody. It happened to Mother Teresa of Calcutta after she died and was on the canonical escalator to sainthood. Somebody discovered a collection of her letters, and they were astonished to find how much they were riddled with doubt. She wondered sometimes if God was really there, if her work for the poor was actually accomplishing anything. She feared the long silences of heaven, while the whole time the Roman Church was getting ready to call her a saint. As she wrote to a colleague, a priest, "Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and emptiness is so great that I look and I do not see, I listen and do not hear." And this was Mother Teresa, rock star for charity, on behalf of Christ, who wanted all those letters destroyed after her death so they never led anybody astray. Now, I cannot judge her because the story is a common one, all too common for me. I've had my moments, my seasons, when faith wavers, when clarity becomes confusion. And I will bet today's offering plate that I'm not the only one. Faith comes and goes. That's the nature of faith. In the letter we heard today, Paul is commending Timothy for his sincere faith. Yet this sincere faith did not come naturally. He was not born with it. It came from outside of him. It was a gift. The very thing that Paul commends does not originate with Timothy. It comes from somewhere else. The apostle says that faith lived in your grandmother Lois. It lived in your mother Eunice, too. Lois and Eunice were two Jewish women. Is it interesting there's no mention of Timothy's father or grandfather or the other side of the family? No, it was these two women who came before him. Faith came to them. Now faith comes to Timothy. And we presume they told him Bible stories. They taught him to pray. They took him to worship. And if he had been in my family, there wouldn't have been any choice about it. He would have spent 3 hours every Sunday in church like I did. Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:45, coffee hour with parents who were always the last to leave. And then it was home for roast beef, roasted potatoes, and the main course was a conversation about the session, the sermon. That's how I was raised, and my family shaped me to prepare for my belief. Some of you know my story. I was telling the guys at the men's breakfast the other day. Every Sunday we sat in the same cube right back there, kind of where Wendy is. All four kids were strategically separated by mom and dad. And the rule was, the contest was, the quietest kid got to put the envelope in the offering plate. It was a weekly contest. We scrambled and pushed and shoved to be the quietest. The sermons were dull, so I took a pencil and I filled in all the zeros and the O's on the worship bulletin, and we sat there still until one day I began to understand just a little bit of what the preacher was talking about. Began maybe some Jesus stories, but then more and more comprehension increased, faith crept in. I was not born with that. It came from somewhere else. And Paul reveals the clue to Timothy. the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Faith sneaks in. It's not from us. It's a gift from God. And I suppose if you hear enough Bible and pray enough prayers and learn the language of belief, faith can inhabit, find a home. It can linger for a while. But faith can also slip away. That was my friend's experience. It's happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. And there's a hint in today's text suggesting that it might have happened to Timothy too, which explains why Paul is kind of so over the top and gives him so much to chew on. And the hint comes when Paul reminds him to rekindle the flame of God, the gift of God that is within you. Rekindle is a verb from the fireplace. It's what you do when the hot flame has died and the remnant of coals remain. You build a little nest of thin sticks over the coals, and you call that the kindling. You blow on the coals, or as I saw somebody once do, you use a hairdryer. If the fire comes alive, you must be ready to feed it with thicker sticks and rebuild the fire. Rekindle the gift of God within you. A suggestive phrase. How do we rekindle a faith when the fire has gone out? Well, I can tell you what my friend did. He did a few different things. First and foremost, he gave up on being an expert, especially in matters of belief. It was very humbling. There he was teaching graduate courses at a seminary in Lancaster in Christian spirituality, and his own spirit was dry and disconnected, but he decided not to fake it, to just ride that out for a while, see what happened. And that opened him to a series of surprises. Here's one. He learned how much of what happened did not depend on him. And maybe he wasn't the center of everything. The sunrise was brilliant, the sunset was stunning, and neither happened because he flipped on the light switch or flipped it off. And that the world seemed to get along just fine without him having to run it. He was free to breathe and take it in, so he scuttled the notion of expertise. And then he began to notice how much good there is in the world. That was significant because he knew how much bad there was. He had been through a patch of personal mishaps, some people dear to him dying, a newspaper full of bad news, national tragedies, awareness of international suffering, and yet with all of that, which was weighing heavily on him, he noticed heroic efforts for goodness. All the darkness could not snuff out the light. Where did that come from? Maybe Christ is risen and God is alive and the Spirit is busy, and he had stopped paying attention to all of that. And then a seemingly random invitation came. An invitation to worship another worshiping community that caught him totally unaware. A friend said, "Why don't you come along with me since you're not going to your own church very much?" He'd gotten stuck and overcommitted in his own congregation, burned out on the building and grounds committee. He went regularly, sat in the same pew every week, and every time he went, it was making him grumpy. But then his friend takes him to the sanctuary of believers from another culture. He didn't even understand the language they were singing in. It was disturbing in the best kind of way, but there was some spark at the heart of it. These people were joyful. The energy was pulsing from the center. And he said, "I had fallen into thinking there was only OTC. You know what that is, OTC? One True Church. And suddenly, I was thrust into seeing that if, in fact, Christ is risen and God is alive and the Spirit is busy, it could be that Christ, God, and Spirit are also busy somewhere else. It was a jolt, so he lingered a while. And in time, he did return to his familiar church, and he sat in a different pew. A fresh perspective. And along the way, he had a realization. Another gift from the heavenly headquarters. That there's something more important than religion, something far more superior to religion, and that is faith. And he remembered two quotable quotes. The first, a stanza from a song by the Grateful Dead. Once in a while, you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right. Once in a while, you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right. The other was a line from the 17th century monk Brother Lawrence. He had assigned the text to his students many, many times, but until now, it never occurred to him that maybe the words might speak to him. And Brother Lawrence wrote in his journal, I can say sometimes I no longer believe, but I see. And he could see what matters most, what is living and true, even if it was awkward, even if he didn't have the words to contain it, even if he had given up the old certainties that had become so confining. That's what snuffs faith out sometimes, the old certainties. His story reminded me of a tale told by a college student. She had gone off to her fall semester, got the books, moved into the dormitory, started her classes. And a few weeks later, her parents relocated, moved to another city a couple of hours further away. So she went to visit them at Thanksgiving, and home wasn't home anymore. Same parents, different town. It was profoundly disorienting. All that had been familiar was gone. The old places were gone. And when she came out of the fog of dislocation, here's how she made sense of it all. She said, home has moved. And I don't know where it is anymore, so I have to figure out where home is now going to be. Because at the heart of it all, she knew that was her journey, to go home. All of us are on a journey. It's the same journey. We get on and off at different spots, but it's the same journey. The journey is we come from God, we return to God. And the longer we live and go around the track, it can seem that God is elusive, and what I thought was certain is no longer more, and God is on the move. Yet if God is our home, our one true home, faith is chasing after God until we find God and God finds us. In one of her books, Anne Lamott, the Presbyterian, writes, no relation. She said, I have a lot of faith, but I'm afraid a lot and have no real certainty about anything. And I remembered something someone had told me, that the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. Certainty is missing the point. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness, the discomfort, and letting it be there until the light returns. Faith also means reaching deeply within for the sense to go for a walk. So we walk, walk on, and walk in the company of one another. There's no better way to rekindle the faith within us than by reaching beyond us, welcoming one another as strangers, building trust, and learning that we are companions on the way. As Paul reaches toward Timothy, we can extend ourselves and for one another, because none of us ever have to travel alone. We are on the journey of faith together. And when we can affirm that, no matter how far off and distant it seems, it does feel like we're going home. That's when we know the journey is God's journey too. With the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. God bless you.